Powerful. I was, I don't know how many of you know about Twitter. Twitter is a social media platform, and if you're not into Twitter, I don't encourage you to get on it. It's it just sucks the life out of you. But something very funny happened on Twitter this week. I was following this thread of this guy that was on there, and this is what he said. He puts this up on Twitter. Co-worker got his lunch stolen, and they agreed to let him watch the security camera. This is the most exciting I've ever been at work ever. Someone stole his lunch and they let him see the security tape. What's going to happen? The lunch in question was shrimp fried rice, which means this escalates from a misdemeanor to a felony, no doubt. Lunch was in the fridge for less than an hour before it vanished. No shrimp, small remains in the microwave or kitchen area. This was a professional hit, no doubt. He's back. He watched the tape. He knows who did it. So the man whose lunch was stolen sits across from me. The person who stole his lunch sits next to me. She left for the day before the investigation started. According to the video, this psychopath didn't even eat the food. She took it out of the fridge and threw it and buried it in the trash. Her motives remain completely unknown. In lieu of what he saw on the tape, he has decided not to press the matter anymore. I can't say I blame him. We don't know what this woman is fully capable of. Update. So when the dude watched the video with HR, they asked, "What do you want to do about it?" He told them he was solely interested in who did it and he didn't want to be responsible for someone getting fired. After charges were dropped, HR sent a company-wide email about not stealing people's lunches. She's scheduled to arrive back to work in 20 minutes. I'm not reading the next line. She's walked into the room and the room is dead silent. Dead silent, yet there is this palpable, explosive, angry pulsing through everyone about it. From the moment she walked in, I've just been staring at her, watching her open the email, and now she clicked on the HR email. Strap in. Here we go. After seeing the HR email, she says out loud, "Whoa, someone stole a lunch. Who would do something like that?" I may have to run out of the room. After she said that, shrimp guy responds, "Well, yeah, it's not okay to throw someone's food away. We're all about to start screaming." This is about to get crazier. After he says that, she goes, "Oh, it was your lunch. Beat," she continues. "Why would you go to HR about that?" She has simultaneously denied her involvement and called the guy whose lunch she stole a snitch. I'll keep updating if anything else occurs. But all I can say is that everyone in the office, from the janitor to the founder, knows what she did. She now carries an invisible scarlet letter. You know, Easter and the cross and everything that Jesus has done is actually all about forgiveness. And we would absolutely all say that forgiveness should be part of our lives. We should forgive those that have done things wrong to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. On the cross, he gained forgiveness for the whole world. He gained forgiveness for you. And because of that, we believe that we should also forgive others. But I think that sometimes our forgiveness towards others and how we express that is absolutely conditional. It's conditional on a few things. Firstly, are they sorry? Are they sorry? Now, I'm not going to go into this whole Steve Smith cheating in the cricket thing, but that's what you're all thinking about. If you don't know the story, well, I don't know where you've been. But basically, some Australian cricketers, the office of Australian cricket captain is obviously higher than Prime Minister or any other office in our land. They cheated at the cricket. And as they do as sports stars, they front the media to apologise, right? And I was speaking to Nadia Misopoulos, who's a friend. She works at the ABC. And she said to me that the community sentiment is such that people accept Steve Smith's apology, but they don't accept Dave Warner's. And the reason is because Steve Smith appeared to be sorry. So is your forgiveness towards someone conditional upon them being sorry? There's also something else and another condition we put on forgiveness, and that is that justice would be served. If someone is really suffering, like Steve Smith crying in the press conference, we will say, oh, he's suffered enough. I forgive him. Is our forgiveness towards other people conditional on them actually suffering? You know, in my hand I have a balloon. And I wonder sometimes when someone wrongs you and someone does something to you that upsets you. It could be something really small. Maybe they cut you off in the traffic. Maybe it's something bigger. Maybe it's someone that's really close to you, like a parent. And maybe they didn't act like a parent should act. Maybe that's something really big. What are the hurts and the things that you're holding on to? What are the things that you are finding hard to forgive people for? I wonder if there's more than one person. I wonder if there's two. Just holding on to that. You're holding on to that. You're still angry. Maybe it's been a long time. You're holding on to that. Maybe there's more than two. Maybe there's some real serious stuff that you're holding on to. Maybe you're waiting for them to say sorry or for them to suffer because they made you suffer. Yeah, it's really difficult to hold on to all this stuff as you walk around. But you know what? They don't deserve your forgiveness. They're going to pay, they're going to suffer because they hurt you. You're not going to forgive them. They're going to suffer. Who's the one carrying all the stuff? Who's the one carrying all this stuff around? It's not them. They've probably forgotten. It's you. See, the Bible talks about forgiveness, and the Greek word actually means letting go. Letting go. It's actually really not even about the person. Forgiveness for us and for you and for me is actually, it's a question of your mental, your spiritual, even your physical health. When we hold on to all these pains and these hurts, the only one really suffering is us. But, what a relief. What a relief it is just to let that go. How unencumbered you are when you let those hurts and you let those pains go. You know, Jesus' death on the cross actually made it possible and has given you the power to let go of all that stuff. When Jesus was on the cross in Luke 23, he made this statement. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." It's a really interesting question as to who he was talking to, who he was talking about. Sometimes we know what we've done wrong. But Jesus' forgiveness for us and for you is not conditional on you suffering. It's not conditional upon you making yourself good. You going and pouring yourself out. But listen, this is actually a strong word, okay? What I'm about to say here is actually quite strong. If you think about it, you could actually be really offended. And I don't mind because I think it's the truth. When Jesus was on that cross and the horror of the cross and the separation from God, it is a horrible moment for him. It is awful. And it's a parallel is found in the things that you have done wrong. And I've done wrong. The reason it is so awful, it actually shows you how awful your sin is. That Jesus had to suffer, that he had to be separated. The cross actually demonstrates to us how awful the things that we do and you have done, every one of us, are. It's good though, this verse, Father forgive them for they don't know what they're doing, because actually Peter tells us later on in the book of Acts exactly who Jesus was referring to. Now I think there's a wider reference as well, but in Acts he actually is standing before the Jewish leaders of the day, the religious people of the day who had stood there and said, crucify him, crucify him. Friends, I realize what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. Can you imagine the transformation that took place in Peter's life, right? As he went from that scared fisherman standing in that room saying, I deny him, I deny him, I deny him. And then now we find him standing in front of the religious leaders of his day, in front of the crowd. And he's saying, friends, I realize that you killed him in ignorance. You did kill him, but you didn't understand that he actually came to forgive you. You didn't actually understand that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. So he starts with that. You may not realize what you've done that has offended God. You may not realize how far you are actually from God. But his offer of forgiveness to you is here, it's available, it's free because of what he's done at the cross. The story goes on and Peter says this, but you must be sorry for your sins. You must turn from them. You must turn to God and have your sins taken away. Then many times your soul will receive new strength from the Lord. He will send Jesus back to the world. He is the Christ who long ago was chosen for you. If you want to know Jesus, if you want to know freedom, if you want to know why you're actually even here on earth, and what life is all about, then you need to do those things. You need to accept that Jesus is Lord, that he was God, that he came to earth to die for the things that you have done wrong. You must accept that. You must acknowledge that you have done things wrong, that you have messed up, that you have done things that God doesn't like. And that's a question of pride sometimes. It's a question of saying, yeah, I'm actually in need of forgiveness. And you must accept Jesus into your life. It's actually simple, but it was very difficult. And here's the thing about the Easter story. We needed Good Friday and we needed Easter Sunday. Good Friday wouldn't have been enough. Easter Sunday wouldn't have been enough. Let me tell you why. Because Good Friday was all about you exiting your old life. Paul tells us later on that we identify with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. So you actually identify with Jesus in his death on Good Friday. You say, I am leaving behind my old life. Just as Jesus went down into the grave and said goodbye to this life. When you become a follower of Jesus, you say goodbye to that old life. But you don't want to stay there, do you? You want to be like Jesus, who rose up from the dead into victory on Easter Sunday. We need both. You need to say, you know what, this life, I've had enough. I want things to be different. And then you want to say, I want to live my life. I want to live it. I want to live it free and full, abundant life in Jesus. We need both, and you need both. Father, this morning I want to pray for anyone here today that hasn't yet made that choice to follow you. Lord, may your Holy Spirit right now, Christians, you pray with me. May your Holy Spirit right now speak into their very soul. Can we all bow our heads and close our eyes? Can we all just have an attitude of prayer? If you've never chosen Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, now is your opportunity. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to die to my old life. I want to experience the forgiveness, the absence of guilt and shame. I want that taken away. I accept your free gift, what you purchased for me on the cross. And I want to walk in new life. I want to be a new person. I want things to change. You know, if you've been a Christian for a long time, this is just an opportunity right now to rededicate yourself to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I repent. I turn away from those things. And now in this moment, Easter Sunday, 2018, today is a new day for me. Sorry for what I've done. And I want to walk in that new life of what you've done for me. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer, please come and see me or see someone after the service. Tell someone what you've done. It's a really good idea to share that and to share that moment. I believe there's people here this morning that have actually said yes to Jesus for the very first time. Tell someone about it. Talk to someone. Come and see me afterwards. I'd love to pray with you. What a special day today has been. As the band comes up, we're going to stand together in a moment. We're going to sing a beautiful song that we sung at the start. We're going to celebrate together what Jesus has done for us.